Father, you heard our cry this morning. You heard our proclamations from this song. And in Jesus' name, we come before you, knowing we're in the throne room of God, experiencing your presence in this house. With your presence, healing is manifesting. Church family, just begin to just receive from the Lord. Allow the miraculous move of God to just manifest over your lives right now. I proclaim absolute healing in those situations. The prophetic word that was given to us a few weeks ago, God, that it would just overflow us. It would move breakthrough, begins to transform our thoughts, the way we see things. All the junk of the past, the deliverance, the freedom that we now live in. Give us revelations of our next step. In that business situation, in that home, that child that's become a prodigal, in Jesus' name, we proclaim the returning. And in that returning, great things are in store for that child. Let our faith arise. Let our faith arise to recognize, God, that you are moving in all of our situations. Teach us this day how to put our arms up and say, no more enemy, no more thief, no more liar. In Jesus' name, I take control over the spiritual aspect of this situation. And we now will walk in victory because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I really want to begin today by just making a statement. Please know that the gift of salvation that you walk in is never to be taken for granted. What God has done for you and me should never be taken for granted. Part of taking it for granted is actually acquiescing to the circumstance. Allowing our thoughts, our actions, how we talk, how we feel, to go opposite of what the grace of God, salvation, the freedom that we have in that gives. I'm going to ask if you turn your Bibles to Luke 15, and we're talking about the parable of the lost and found. And today I want to talk about the way home. The way home. How do we, as men and women of God that has pleased God, that are doing really good things for the kingdom of God, how do we, when we become, and I'm going to say this a few times today, when we become a prodigal in areas of our life, how do we return home? How do we get past the guilt, the condemnation? Or how do we walk through the devastation that we created because of the prodigal decisions or life that we did in that moment, in that area of life. Because remember, Scripture talks to us about how that when we become born again, that everything's been wiped clean. But the enemy can come in later and be seven times stronger in areas because, remember, we didn't fill what was emptied by God, all the junk, the sin, all the different aspects of our life, that we don't fill it with the Word of God. And that's why I thank God for us, the Valley Community, is that we are a Word Church, that we teach the Word, that every time you come, every time you listen and watch online, is you're going to be filled with the Word of God. We're going to fill that emptiness. We're going to fill what was emptied by God, and we're going to fill the emotional emptiness, because when there's a transformational change in your life, where before you were this, you identified as this, and then now you're identifying as a believer, as a son or a daughter of God, there's some changes that you and I have to make, right? There's some things that we have to literally just say, I used to think this way, now I'm not going to think this way. And I'm going to learn to think this way. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be discipled. There's some things that hurts that we experience that drew us into the prodigal lifestyle. Bitterness and anger and all these things that brought us. We talked about that in the last series. And can you imagine the prodigal son and the things that were going on and the bondages that he was in and all the stuff? See, this is a perfect picture of everybody's life before Christ. That we made decisions based on a false premise or a false idea. And now we're coming to the truth that Scripture says, and that truth will set you free. But we lived like before, and we still think like before. And all that has to transition. And we have to get to a place of recognizing that Scripture has given us the way home. We're not just talking about confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, but to fill our heart and our soul with the Word of God. So my goal today is to show you the rejoicing of the homecoming of a prodigal. And I want you to put yourself in that. We have talked about the prodigal son about five times through the years that I've been here expansive way, but I want to show you some things today that I think is going to help you understand how to fill your heart so it brings change in your action and your thoughts, that no longer these things keep wearing at you. It's kind of like quite a while ago, I went golfing in Palm Springs, and a bunch of people were saying, here's some bug spray, because, you know, there's a lot of bugs in on this golf course. And I said, oh, no, I don't need it. They don't bother me. And so all day long, I was like that. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, you didn't listen, did you? Because there was an answer to that. And so I want to, my goal today is that I would be, I would give you enough word and truth that you would listen to this. That you really hear the background, what I'm trying to say to all of us, to me included. Because God sees that person, the prodigal, as valuable and precious. Wherever you are at, whatever situations that maybe you are still today a prodigal, my statement to you is God sees you as valuable and precious. And he has set a standard. He has set the principles up whereby when you understand it, you can break through in a greater way. From whatever goes on in your future, from career to marriage to relationships, whatever it may be that God sets you up in, you are valuable and precious to his plan. So again, let me give you the definition from last week of the prodigal. It's a person who is lacking restraint in an area of their life. So what that really means, again, at some time in our lives, all of us were or are a prodigal. If there is any reason or any place that your life is away from the principles of God, here's the premise of today. How do you come home? What's the way home? What things must you think and do to get home? So let's read from Luke 15, beginning with verse 17, and let's go over this story once again, and let's learn a little bit more. Let's dig deeper into this area, because what I'm sensing is the Holy Spirit is really grabbing a hold of this congregation and those that are a part of us that watch online, and there are many. There are hundreds that watch us. And I want you to recognize is God is doing something unique in you, me included, but I'm talking to you, so let's talk about you, okay? God is doing something very unique in you. He is repositioning you. He is positioning you into areas of your life that you at times are not used to. And what he's asking you is to grab the principles that I'm going to teach you today, that you would begin to walk and understand the importance of the actions that I'm going to give to you, that Scripture tells us, so that you can break through in those new areas that God has set you in. Let me say that again, that God set you in. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, when the prodigal came to himself, remember last week, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I am sitting here in a pig pen perishing with hunger. Now, I kind of amplified that, but you can imagine the emotion of the people. And let me just give you an experience of last week. We have quite a few chaplains, Foursquare, that work with tragedies and different things that go on around the world. And I am a friend of one. I won't say the names I'm giving you this as an example. But I've been a mentor to this person. And so I called him asking how he was doing, and he was there. And as I was talking to him, one of the families that are being assisted by our organization, partly assisted by the Foursquare Church, walked in, and they're still waiting to find out what happened to their child. And he had been talking with him and said, hey, you came at a perfect time. This is my mentor, and he's on the phone. And he said, Pastor, would you mind praying for the family? I want to just be honest with you. Not that I'm not always honest with you. But I want to be honest with you. That scared me. because of what they were experiencing. And what do I say? Now I understand, I know because of scriptural, you know, principles. I know that. But what do you say to people that are so overwhelmed with pain in this? And so the Holy Spirit led me, and I'm not going to go over the prayer that I prayed, but they all began to cry and just were very thankful for the prayer. And of course, they're believers and they're trying, you know, they're up and they're down, they're joyous and they're sad, and all the emotions that you and I face too. But I'm saying that is to tell you that we have to come to a recognition is there's a truth that we always need to understand in our walk with God. And it's God's heart. It's God's ways. It's what His scripture, what the Word of God says to us. And He came to Himself. He said, I will arise. Now I'm going to take action on this new thought. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, but watch how the experience of life humbled him. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. But last week I told you, you are always a son or daughter of God. There's not one thing that can happen that would cause you not to be unless you rejected Christ. So verse 18 is a reason I can sum up with you the way home. I'm going to say it, the way home in one word. And here's the word. You heard me use it. Honesty. So I'm going to give you three points that we just basically read in this. So let me just show you this, and then we're going to go over this, and I'm going to show you the steps and the actions that we can take. You know why? Because you have such a call of God upon your life. You are so valuable to the kingdom of God, and God has you in your life where you are at to be able to do great things for the kingdom of God, so that we all can come back together in this house and rejoice in what God has done in and through us. Amen. But we all, our mindsets are always filled with the pain. And I get that. God gets that. But He's saying, here's how you break through and all this stuff. Because how many of you have ever been here? I have. Where you were a prodigal in an area, and you acted out, and you did things, and you were mad, and you did this and did that, and you said these things, and you know that wasn't true, but you said it because you were just mad. And then you came back, asked God to forgive, you asked others to forgive or whatever, but the reality is that you didn't allow what you learned from that to be a principle in your life. And so the enemy is patient and he waits and he'll jump on your case in that area. Now, when I say the enemy, I'm not Satan himself. No, very few people Satan himself will come against. But his demonic influence will come over and go at you in the same place. And you say, why did I do that again? It's because of these three points that in the prodigal story that comes up that the Holy Spirit has shown us is going to give us a real understanding of how we need to keep ourselves in this area of walking in the truth of God and walking in the blessings of the kingdom. All right, so you ready for that? All right, so let's go for it. So here are the three, basically the verses or the statements that I think we're going to really learn from. So when he came to himself is when he got honest with himself. He was willing to go back and work as a servant. So he shows us as a son, he was willing to be honest with the others about him squandering his inheritance. He was absolutely going to be truthful. I messed up. And I feel bad about it. And I hurt people. I did this, but I messed up. All right? And then third, he was willing to confess it to his father. Now, I want you to know a little secret here, but when it talks about he went to his father, it's symbolic of Father God. So this is a story, a spiritual story of our relationship with God. So let's go to point one. Be honest with yourself. Turn to Genesis 20 and see this when Abraham was traveling. In Genesis 20, it says, "And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister.'" Remember the story? They're going into the city. He goes, "Man, Sarah, just tell them you're my sister, because they'll want to kill me so that he can marry you." "Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife.'" Now watch how Father God intervenes. "But you're not having a very good night when God comes in your bedroom and says to you, 'You're a dead man.'" So Abimelech says, "Wait, can we talk about it?" And so verse 4, "But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, 'Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, She is my sister, and she, even she herself said, He is my brother?'" Watch this phrase. "In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." And God said to him in a dream, now this is a great verse for you to memorize. "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also, Father God, withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." So let's learn from this. If we're honest with ourselves and we begin to open up of the things that maybe we were prodigal in, and we begin to communicate that to ourselves, man, you messed up. You got to do it differently. Abimelech was walking in the integrity of his heart, and because of his integrity, God withheld him from sinning. Let me tell you, so if you're honest with yourself, God will keep you from sinning. If you literally are walking in an honesty of the heart in areas of your life, and these are the things that you were prodigal in an area, but you were honest because this is where you're at, and then you figured out, I'm out of line. It creates a system whereby you begin to stop and look to God for an answer instead of trying to figure out how to appease the situation. Okay, keep that thought and let's continue. The word integrity in the Hebrew means completeness. So why did I bring that to you? The extended meaning of that word, it's not holding anything back. You don't hold anything back. You don't cut anything off. In other words, all right, I messed up and just the heck with that. I blew it. No, you don't cut it off. Integrity means that you become complete and whole in thoughts so that God could use you in the midst of your prodigal to do great things for him. Are you following this? All right, stay with me because I got a lot more here. So what I am saying, if you are wanting to come home in any area of your life where you have become a prodigal, yes, you're a believer, you're going to heaven, but you're not living for God in that area of your life, you're going to have to get honest with yourself about what you've done. First. And I don't know about you, but for years I struggled with that. I'm a child of God. I'm a man of faith. I just keep walking. That was the enemy coming against me. And I was making all kinds of, no, I messed up. My thinking was wrong. So when Terry and I began our ministry together 43 years ago, God, at the very beginning of ministry, I recognized that God gave me a lot of favor in ministry. I didn't earn it, and I really didn't deserve it. Because I know who I was back then. But God knows all things, and he brought great favor. So I would speak all over. And so I was going to this large convention to speak. And I was praying in the green room, and I was saying, Lord, bless this service. Bless all that I do. And you know what the Lord said? He said, why? Why do you want me to bless this? It was in my heart. It wasn't audible. I had to get honest with myself. Because I was a young buck, and there were some major religious leaders of our country in the service, and I wanted to impress them. Absolutely out of line. And I got honest with myself, and I said to the Lord, well, because so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so is there, and I want to impress them. He goes, yeah, I know. I know what you're doing. He said, you didn't pray, Lord, help me to minister to the people. You didn't pray, Holy Spirit, lead me. See, after this experience, this was my prayer. And it's always been. And sometimes, because of the emotions that I've felt through the years, sometimes I wish I hadn't prayed this. I said, Lord, help me to feel what other people are feeling while I'm speaking. So when I do funerals, I'm feeling what people are feeling. The Lord said, if you will remain honest, I will bring you to the place that you will ask me to help you for the kingdom's sake. God couldn't get me to the places he's brought me until I admitted to myself I had selfish goals. And I'm glad in this world, I'm the only one in the world that ever had selfish goals. So I don't want you to look at me that way. So be honest with yourself. We're talking about this breakthrough that there's areas of our life that were prodigal only because what's taken place is when we became born again, our house was cleaned, but there are areas of our life we didn't fill it with Scripture. We didn't fill it with the Word of God. And our actions still followed our past instead of the present of walking with God. Here's the second point. Be honest with others. Now, this is an area where a lot of people can get real extreme and get hog wild on this area. So let me simplify it for you, this point, to be honest with others. Remember, he said, I'll go and be one of his hired servants. He knew working with the servants, they would know he was a son. And they would ask, why are you doing this? And he said, I would answer, I left the home and I squandered everything. He came to a place of being able to share, not with everybody in the world, but with these hired servants that loved his family, even though they were servants, and they knew him as a son. They had relationship with him before, and he's going to go to them, and he was going to be able to admit, I'll use a term, to confess to the few how he squandered his life. Like I'm sharing with you as your pastor or as a teacher of that prayer that I had and how God, he knew my heart, he knew my desire, but I wasn't walking in that in a biblical way. And so he confronted me on that. So what I'm learning from the prodigal is that we need to be honest with others too. He was willing to humble himself in front of other people and be honest. Let me just simplify it. You walk up to someone and you're in conversation and you say, yeah, I messed up. This is what I did. But you're not talking to someone who doesn't really care about you. You're talking to people that are close to you. These servants were close to the family. And he said, I messed up. I'm willing to share with them, and I'd just be glad to just be in my Father's home with you. And that's the point that we have to understand. We're always concerned about what other people are thinking about, and we need to come to a place in our life where we're honest with others. You see, there's no reason to tell people you're honest if you're honest. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, I'm just going to be honest with you? I used this before. And my first thought is, so you've been lying to me. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much because that person is honest with others and he's able to share with others. The word trespass in the Greek is periptoma, and in the Bible it's translated trespass 9 times and offense 7 times. So think about it, confess your offenses. Can you imagine if you brought out your offenses in the light? Then you can deal with it. But if you keep it in the dark, you will live with it the rest of your life. 3 times, watch this in Scripture, 3 times a Greek word is translated faults. Confess your faults. Way back then, I was insecure, even though there was great favor, and God was putting me in front of many. And I was traveling, doing camps, all kinds of stuff that I was doing, traveling on the mission field. And what I needed to realize and be honest with myself and with others is I still had faults that were trailing on me, that were hanging on to me from my past. Even though I'm born again, called of God, walking in anointing, seeing people get healed and saved and changed because of, quote, my teaching, but the reality was, is the fault that I had was insecurity. Now, the principle again, I'm going to say it again because it's important, is you don't confess it to the whole world. But if you have someone to talk to, confess it to them. See, because confess is like a swear word to a lot of Christians. Unless it's, I confess in Jesus' name. But the other way is almost a swear word to a believer. So let me give you the Greek translation or definition of false. We're going deeper in this. To fall near or beside something, or a lapse or deviation from the truth. So in other words, we need to confess our lapses or deviations from the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And when we do that, what happens is we're able to break through in areas of our life. And there's some things I'm going to say in a little bit that I want to challenge you. I'm not talking down to anybody because I've been there. I was probably, in my younger ministry, was the worst offender of some of this stuff. I wasn't honest with myself. I wasn't honest with others. So here is why it's beside or near. Para means alongside. So when you humble yourself and fall right beside the truth, and even if you barely miss it, confess it. That's what it's saying. It's saying if you just know it, just that little, you just need to confess it. Now, I'm not talking about confess it for 5 years and don't do anything about it. Amen? Have you ever heard anybody that's, they're always telling you their faults? And then you're trying to build them up. You're trying to say, wait a minute, you're a child of God. You can, yeah, but you know, on this. No, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about getting to a place that it's starting to cause you to be a prodigal in that area of your life. And you have to do that. So in that reality, you begin to see and understand that there are people around you that love you with all their hearts. And these are people that you can talk to. So we need to confess our lapses or deviations from the truth. Why? So you can be healed and you can be made whole. Anybody want to be healed? Anybody want to be made whole? Okay, these are the steps. So let me say it this way. This talking about that you barely miss it. This is where most of us are in the prodigal deviation. Is we're barely missing it. We just a little attitude or something in that area. See, this is not talking about that you're 5 miles away like the prodigal was here. This is talking, he's talking to believers. This is you and me who are loving God and doing great things for the kingdom of God. But there's just that area that we keep stumbling in. We're barely missing it. And how that changes is we become honest with ourselves and honest with those that are close, those that you can talk to. Still with me? All right, because I got more to tell you. So when you stumble just a little bit from the truth, confess it. Here's why. If you get into the habit to bring the little things into the light, then it will be easy to overcome the big things. Because Satan only works in the darkness. Now I'm going to be straight with you all. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to say that. Can you confess with your spouse with anything you are struggling with? Even lust? Here's another question. Can your spouse confess to you without you blowing up and being offended? See, if that can't happen, doesn't that train each other to keep things in the dark? When I do marital counseling, I talk about light and darkness. And the only way that it stays in the light, if there's conversations and our reactions. Okay, I'm not talking about that, yeah, honey, I've gone out and I've committed an affair with 5 different people. I just want to tell you that. I'll confess. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that there are areas of your life that you just need to say, honey, you know, there's something I need to talk to you about and I need your help with. Amen. And it's important. Some of you would say, well, I can't do that with my spouse. And I would say, I know that's why there's struggle in the marriage. Because there's not that openness. There's not, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'll tell you what, it's not easy thinking about this because of past things where we used to just stuff it. You know, I'm just working on my life. I'm just getting better. No. You got to open it up to people that love you. To all who are single, you say, I don't have a spouse. Use the same principle and confess it to those that you're close to. And biblically, I would say, if you're a guy, don't confess it to a girl. Confess it to another guy. If you're a girl, don't confess it to a guy. Confess it to, because you don't want to build relationship with the opposite by being that close until you become married. All right, so work with that. I know this is a lot of like intricate things, but you got to hear this. You got to understand this. This is why we miss it a little bit in areas of our life, because things are in the darkness. Again, infidelity from your spouse. Let me just tell you this too. It's not your fault. If your spouse commits this, it's not your fault. And let me just say this. I don't care how you are or are not. It's an individual making that choice of sin. Everyone get that? Because there's a lot of spouses who are walking as a Christian feeling worthless because they thought it was their fault. It's not your fault. They're the ones had problems with lust and fell to it. But don't allow them to drag you into bitterness and anger and destroy your life for the rest of your life. And if you want more steps on that, you can come and I'll give you some biblical advice in my office. All right, so be honest with yourself. Be honest with each other. Here's the third. Be honest with God. The prodigal is going home to be completely honest with his father. In Acts chapter 5, another scripture says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part. Now that's not walking in integrity. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, stating at the apostles' feet was the whole thing, and it wasn't the whole thing. They were lying. All right? But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, to God, and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, this is a truth that we need to catch. He lied to a person. Then Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He lied to a person. But Peter said he lied to God. Because when you lie, here's a principle. When you lie to yourself and lie to others, you are lying to God. I'll say it again. When you lie to yourself and lie to others, you are lying to God. If you are not walking with honesty to yourself and honesty to others, you are not walking with honesty to God. So these are principles, folks, that we need to understand that it's not a choice of, well, I know that was a pretty good message, Pastor, but I really don't have problems with that. Let me just say this to you. We all have problems with it. Thank you for the amen. We all have problems with this. And let me just say this to you, just a little bit. But we need to get rid of the just a little bit. And we need to be honest and integrous. I love you. Let me just say this to you. Parents, ever walk in a room and your child puts something behind their back? And you say, what do you have? And what do they say? Nothing. Did your child fool you? No. Do you think God can't see that? By the way, to the child, God is on the other side of you too. Even though mama only sees the front side of you, God sees both. So to all of us, do we really think, if we don't confess it, that God doesn't know? Do we really think, do I really think I can stand before God with my arm behind my back and him not know? But let me give you some good news, because you're all going, oh, I can't breathe. Whatever you have behind your back, Jesus already died for it. He already paid the price for that. We just need to bring it out in the light so he can help us with it. So let's conclude with this. Luke 22, verse 41 and 42. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Honesty is this. Father God, not my will, but yours be done. That's true honesty. Not my will, but yours be done. Matthew tells us he prayed this three times too. Luke tells us one time, but Matthew tells us he did it three times. Jesus never sinned, though. He was being honest, saying, is there any other way than let this cup pass from me? And please see this. In my opinion, all right, everyone say pastor's opinion. But I'm right. Anyways, in my opinion, he wasn't talking about the nails and the thorns or the scourging. He was talking about that he knew he was going to be separated from God. He knew that there was going to be a time frame in all of eternity past and present at that time. He had never been separated from God. And that's why he was sweating sweat and blood of the anxious, what was going on in him, that there was going to be a time that he would be separated from the Father. Jesus was saying, if there is any other way to redeem them to you than being separated from you, please let that happen. But there, if there's no other way, then I'll die being separated from you so that they can live. That's the Jesus that we serve. Jesus was being honest. The word will is his desire. When God said he is not willing that any should perish, speaks of his desire that no one should perish. And let me just say this in conclusion. You will never truthfully pray, "Your will be done," until you truthfully pray, "Not my will be done." And you will never truthfully pray, "Not my will be done," until you truthfully admit what your desire really is. Jesus' desire was, "I don't ever want to be separated from you, Father." The prodigal chose to be separated. But we're seeing, be honest with ourselves, be honest with one another, and be honest with the Father. And when you will do that, let me just tell you, it's a simplistic thing. Because why is it simple? Because in your deliverance, in your breakthrough, what we just sang today, Jesus is all we want. Relationship with the Father is all we want. And because of that, the fear of sharing things that you might think the devil said, "You say that, you're going to ruin your marriage. You say that, you're going to ruin your relationship. You say that, you're going to lose your job." I'm saying to you, what's more important? Being with the Father or being separated because of our own choices from the blessing of the Father? Amen. God, whatever you have me to do in my life, I'll work with the servants. I'll pluck the corn. I'll pick the potatoes. I'll clean the house. But I don't ever want to be separated from you anymore. That's the truth that we get from the prodigal son making his way home. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. You've been blessed by the word? Let it sink deep. Don't walk out of here thinking, "Oh, no. All that I got to confess." Rejoice. Rejoice. Because if you're honest with yourself, dude, look at your attitude. Change. But I have a brother that I can go, I have my wife, I have a brother that I can go to and say, "Hey, now I just need to share this with you." And that brother who's close to you and loves you will say, "Dude, you did that?" And he says, "Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray." The next day, the friend, the brother says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing good." "No, no, no. How you doing? Because I know something no one else knows. How you doing?" "I'm doing good. Thank you for asking." Builds relationship with one another. You become closer to one another as a congregation, individually with different people. Your marriage begins to rise up and just become better and better and better. Not because you go back 30 years and on January 10th I did this and no. I'm talking about where you're at today. Where you're at today. Just begin talking. And spouses, help them. Love them. Don't go, "You did what? I can't believe you did. Why would you?" You know what God's going to do? Hey, I asked him to do that. Right? So all of us need to rearrange our thinking. How we're going to react to stuff in our lives, our relationships. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. Holy Spirit, move in that unique way you are moving. We come in agreement. We welcome you in every area of our life. Whatever area that we've missed just a little bit, help us to take the action and the principles you've given us to be totally delivered and removed from the action of the enemy. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Reminder, tonight we begin again our Bible studies, 6 o'clock. I welcome you to come tonight. It's going to be a great time. Youth and children next door. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.